Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I think Nigel might be able to pull up some sound effects. They screech very, very loudly, and they're very territorial, so they become very protective of their space.
Oh.
Okay, but that goes... This particular peacock had a very long tail. And all I can think of, I swear to God, nothing bothers me more on a flight than, well, a lot of things bother me. You know, the carts come down the aisle, but people have their feet sticking out, or they have their luggage sticking out, and the cart gets slowed down, and I don't get my drink. The peacock's tail would be dragging down the aisle of the plane.
If the peacock's tail, it sounds like a Netflix series.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So some months back, Michael Kornheiser, who used to appear on this show.
Name rings a bell.
Until he got on the OJ trial. And still on the trial. 7 days. Judge said day and a half.
I'm starting to think he's on trial.
7 days. Michael said to me once, Tory is gold. Because when you least expect it, Tory knows exactly what's going on.
Gold, Jerry.
She knows about the peacocks.
Expensive knowledge about peacocks, yes.
Unbelievable. Crystal Liz is here. Gary Braun is here. Nigel is here. We have friends in the audience. The Isaacsons are here. Matt Helfrich is here. We are live at Chatter and at the corner of Friendship. I'm sorry, in Friendship Heights at the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Streets Northwest. So this is our schedule. We're here tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm leaving early because I had to switch gym days because I screwed up. So I didn't realize Matt wanted to talk to me after this and not after... the show today.
It's tomorrow a chest or a legs day?
No, we don't do it that way.
Oh.
Tomorrow, body.
It's all
push
core.
Some body
push
day.
Some steel.
It's all core. No. We don't. No. No. It is the weight training for an 80-year-old woman.
Exercise ball?
Oh.
A little bit of slam the ball.
Do you do any swimming?
Some planks?
No.
I think of it as cocoon. You know,
I don't do any swimming. It's not cocoon. I'm not with Don Ameche in the pool. I'm older now than Don Ameche was then. So we have the show here tomorrow. We have the show here Monday. We do not have Tuesday and probably not Wednesday because we're renovating the bathroom.
That's right.
We're definitely closed Tuesday, probably closed Wednesday. You can look at the website. Don't ask me how to do that. The website
the Chatter
should
website
have this information.
The Tony Kornheiser.
And we are full on for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Nigel, we are going to have Super Bowl parties and giveaways.
Drink specials.
And stuff.
Yes.
A lot of stuff.
Yes.
If you have nowhere else to go for the Super Bowl, come here. There'll be a lot of people here, and you might find your next mate. I don't know.
I'm hoping to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Certainly.
So what have we
got? I got the Super Bowl menu along with
we have a special menu?
Yes. I was given this yesterday. Chicken taquitos, buffalo chicken fries, chips and dip, queso con carne, which just looks fantastic. White cheddar, chili, and potato skins.
A lot of cheese.
Yeah, well.
What do we do, hijack a cheese truck? Do we go into Wisconsin and just say, stick them up?
Is there any octopus or caviar? That's sort of what
caviar.
I like to eat.
Yes. There's tremendous caviar.
Yes, there is a
the best caviar.
Yeah, VIP menu.
Ivy League caviar.
The best.
Yes. Well done.
So, yeah, so all kinds of wonderful food specials, and I guess I'll be here probably about 4:30 to entertain the crowd.
Right.
So please,
all right,
come on by. We'd love to see you.
Also, we gave away our last tickets to the auto show just now, but go to the auto show.
Yes.
The auto show is fun, and I said that I would say that to a lot of people.
The good news is, on the gift front, the atomic lighters are just pouring in.
Yes,
There's another. We got a second atomic lighter. This comes from Tyler Hartung in Seattle, Washington, says, Loyal Millennial Little here. After all the talk about the atomic lighter, I decided you just have to have one. Well, not now. I have two. Now can I have one of those $12 Chatter shirts?
Not how it works,
or something.
Yeah.
You get
something. Got to mention.
Get something.
It's not a
Gary Williams
economy.
Got me yet another bottle, makes me very happy, of Sangamore Spirit Rye. This is the stuff that Kevin Plank makes from Under Armour.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's really, really good. And somebody to whom I'm related by marriage is going through this like Grant went through it at Richmond.
Yeah. Drinking it like she lives with you?
Yeah, just unbelievable. This is a shirt for Saliza.
Oh.
This is from
Purple
Johnny
is
Spence.
My color.
It says he gets no props from
blue.
The peeps, so you get this.
Let's see what it says. I'll hold it up for you to see. Well,
by the way, what do I...
Can't really hold
can
it up
I,
with your
Can I
dead
discuss
arm.
My problem with the atomic lighter?
Oh. It's a,
I don't have
Python.
Anything to light. I don't know what to do with it. I'm thrilled to have.
Nigel had a good suggestion.
I don't know what to
torch this place.
Yeah, well, eventually, you're going to want to burn this down like Goodfellas.
This is killing me. This is absolutely killing me. Yeah. I was sent a autographed picture.
This is actually really nice.
Of Brooks Like.
Ooh.
And it says so Brooks Like is on waivers right now with the Leafs, which makes this 100% certified, genuine autographed, plaque mounted 8x10 photo even more valuable, right? I don't know if that's
true. Well, Brooks
true.
Like one of the greatest caps of all time.
Yeah. Never forget.
It's absolutely authenticated.
Certificate of authenticity.
And... You know what? We can put that up in chatter.
Yeah.
And here's the letter.
Why not?
Dear Tony, please see the enclosed authentic autograph photo of the sensational player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, mm-hmm. Brooks Like. I believe he had a storied career of 6 months. I also believe he had a short stint in D.C. with the Choking Dog Capitals. He is now in the Where Are They Now column. The photo was part of a silent auction at my wife's work, not at the Pep Boys, to raise money for the United Way. And I said to myself, Mr. Tony could use this spectacular piece of memorabilia to mount in the new washroom at Chatter for prize bag Bootsy's bedroom, or maybe a beloved guest that Tori could take home to the Rock and the Red Gang. One day I hope to make it in for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is David Spence in Kingston, Ontario, who sends all the best to everybody. Love that Saliza.
Yeah. Says. I got to admit, I think there's a little bit of a, I think there's, the pendulum is swinging back in my favor. You notice that, Nigel?
Sure it is.
Yeah, that's two people who have said they like me.
And we received this.
Neither of which are related to me.
Also from Canada. Also from Canada.
Yes, big Canada Day.
From Chris McFarlane and Sylvie Paquette in Orangeville, Ontario. Please enjoy the sample of Alaskan ice melter made here in Canada. I'm in no way affiliated with the company. I never met anyone who works there, and I've only purchased it once. It seems to work okay. I had some left. Hopefully it helps you. The $10 Canadian is for your cable bill in your preferred denomination for thank yous. This is unbelievable.
What is it? I'm interested. What is an ice melt? Is it just like what it sounds like?
I think it's just ice melt.
Oh, it is. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, do not eat that. Learn that lesson the hard way.
Well, it's not a lot. Well,
it's Alaskan, though,
you
could.
I mean, you don't want to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe a pound.
Cereal. And he sent us a bunch of Canadian coins.
Well, those are coming very
$10
helpful.
$10 worth of Canadian money.
You sprinkle them with the ice melt. I think they activate the ice melt.
So we're really fabulously happy about all of these things now.
The
atomic lighter. Can I just get back to this?
Yes.
Of course.
Utilizes real lightning technology.
But what do I do with it?
I think you would light stuff, your tiki torches. Grill?
Yeah, just light stuff.
You could light a grill with that?
Yeah. Yes. Turn the gas all the way up, 5-10 minutes.
And then just blow up.
Yeah, just toss it in.
Whammo.
Okay. Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted, so we'll give away one of the atomic lighters. In fact, maybe at the Super Bowl, here's what we're not giving away, the rye whiskey.
No.
We may give away the atomic lighter. There's a story in the Post today, in the Washington Post, and it is a follow story to a much larger and comprehensive story in the New York Times Sunday Magazine, right? Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
And the essence of the story, and it is somewhat lost on me, though I consider it fascinating. I am not on social media.
Don't
at
subscribe
all.
To the Facebook.
You don't
I don't
Facebook.
Subscribe to the Facebook.
It doesn't come to your
I don't
computer.
Do any of these things.
MySpace.
And because I understand that if I do them, I will be fired. I understand that.
That's probably right.
So, I don't even go on. And and I say all the time, when people say to me, you know, I'm part of a chat group. I don't tell me. Right. Don't tell me and stop doing it yourself. But if you don't want to stop, never tell me about it. Just I don't want to know. Well, apparently there is a certain amount of currency in the bragging of how many people follow you on various social media.
Certainly among my teenagers there are.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, social status.
The more you have, the cooler you are, or the more important you are.
Yes.
And so people are now, if I understand this correctly, buying followers who are made up
bots.
You know, they're not they're not actually real
phony
people.
Accounts.
Someone is selling this so that you can brag, mine is larger than yours, right? That's all it is.
You have literally nailed it.
So what is this?
Well, 632,000 followers.
How desperate. Like, Wilbon has over a million.
Yes. Well, I mean.
Yes,
that's
good.
Okay. Obama and Trump have like 45 million.
And like YouTube stars I've never heard of have like 26 million.
Right. I have zero.
It's not just. I was aware that people buy followers. I was unaware that people in the public eye buy followers. I don't know why. I just assumed that you know what I should say? I was aware followers were available to buy. I didn't know anyone I would have ever heard of.
But they're not real people.
No,
they're
just
robots.
You are artificially inflating your numbers. But I will say it's not just. It is not just. Look how many I have, which has become sort of a measuring contest.
Right.
It is also, without question, a marketing. It is when I. first pitched a book idea, one of the questions they asked me was, how many Twitter followers do you have? I mean, it is absolutely, I think publishers...
So if I said, I have a book idea, the name of the book is Bad Stuff About ESPN. Okay?
Well,
and they would say, how many followers do I have? And I would say, none.
You are breaking news.
As I've said many times, that's... I want them to buy me out of that book.
Breaking news, you are not normal.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't count. I mean, you're on television every single day.
And I love ESPN, and they have financed everything that I own, including putting me in a tax circumstance now that is onerous beyond
but
words.
If you
but
were,
I'm happy.
But if you were on the rise, let's say, and you were working at
old.
A local...
Yeah, too old.
But you wanted to make a new name for yourself and get noticed by ESPN, then that might be a path you would take.
But I've mentioned...
But what you are doing is fraudulent, and then if you are famous and it comes out that you've done this, look at... Is it Richard Roper?
Yeah.
The film reviewer for the Chicago Sun-Times?
Yep. That's right, yes.
Took the place of... Roger Ebert?
Yes.
So you're saying now, some famous people
can
be fraudulent.
Or they can them.
Well, I think they said, we're not going to run any of your columns till we sort this thing out.
Right.
So...
I mean, yeah. Yes, you of course, but it's like
how
it's
much?
So
is
let,
how
let,
much is
let me
enough?
Further complicate this. Let me further complicate this a little bit. I've mentioned in the past Drew Brees. He's just one of many. I'm not suggesting he has bought followers or has anything to do with that. But Drew Brees was one of the first guys in the NFL I can remember who I'm certain through third parties, his marketing company or the people who promote him, would pair him with people, and you would get tweets like.
I love this new vitamin water.
Like this one from December 20th. Thanks to at Bam Bam's Barbecue and Traeger Grills for making the Saints the best brisket, ribs, turkey, etc. with an Instagram post. So
that's good.
Right.
I do that at the end of PTI. So, I will go, Mastronardi Produce.
Right.
Shout out.
Now you're doing it because they're sending you free tomatoes or
yes,
whatever.
Tomatoes.
Yeah. He's doing it because his people have sold it and he's getting money. So if he has a million followers versus 800,000, it's presumably a larger
Wilbon
audience
has
and it's
talked
worth more
about
money.
This.
Yes.
Wilbon has talked about putting himself in position to monetize a lot of things.
So
God bless Wilbon.
So for some of these people, I mean, I can't.
All I want are atomic
lighters. For some of these people, it's an investment. To build their audience. I mean, if ESPN could, for instance, by just paying someone more money,
correct.
Say there was twice as many people watching your show as there is, imagine what that would do to their ad rates.
But is it not horrifically embarrassing when it comes out?
I would think it is.
Not real people?
Well, most of these people are too stupid to be ashamed.
Wilbon, 5.1 million followers.
Yes, yes.
Not 1 million, 5.1.
That's fabulous, right?
Pretty good.
That's very good.
But he hasn't bought people.
No,
but I am sure, just like the number of people
He's 5.1?
Yeah.
Okay, Braun Film tipping the scales at 18.1.
Boom.
I would point out.
Yeah.
18.1 what?
Well, yeah, 1,000.
1,000? That's not
close.
He's in the millions.
I'm not buying Russians.
You know what? Let's not nitpick. Yeah.
Right.
But I do think that Wilbon, I'm sure, has people who are bots who follow him, just like I do. Just like I have people who are bots
who
follow me.
But they're not people.
No, who have accounts that are bots.
And they're not.
But we didn't pay for it. We didn't pay for them. Rachel Nichols, by the way, one of your favorites, 971,000 followers.
I love Rachel.
Because, by the way, it behooves those who are controlling these bot accounts to build and broaden the network of the bot. The bot, let's pretend, is a person so you don't get confused. So they follow me, they follow Chris, they follow Wilbon, even though we didn't ask or pay for it.
Right.
So they've got a sort of a wider network.
I'm talking about the paying, the delivery.
Yeah. It's a gamble. It's a gamble that people... Why a Richard Roper would do it is beyond me. But I think it's a gamble some people who
just
are looking, who are clamoring to be... Right.
Yeah.
Clamoring to be more relevant. Take. And Taylor Swift has 85.8 million Twitter followers. I just looked it up.
What's Trump?
He's in the 46, 47 range, I think.
We're going to get out of here. We're going to have Barry's for Luga on.
You don't like me just reading random people's Twitter followers?
47.3
Before we bring
million.
Barry on, Donald I should Trump. Say that this is now the second time that Andy Reid has traded a quarterback to the Washington Redskins. For those of you who remember the first time,
how'd that work
it was
out?
Donovan McNabb.
Justin Bieber, 105 million.
Well, that seemed, yeah.
Are we
that
doing an extra hour on this? We'll just read off people's
I
Twitter followers?
I think it's be good. Maybe
people
in the third
that.
Hour.
That's
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Sherry's Berries read, and with Valentine's Day fast approaching, thinking, what should I get?
Well, when you say it's fast approaching, it's taking the same amount of time that it takes every year. We're in a 24-hour cycle.
That's relatively speaking.
Yes.
Well, I mean...
We are getting nearer and nearer to Valentine's Day, but it is not.
The blue blood moon doesn't affect the approach of the.
I didn't realize there was going to be pushback on the rapidly approaching.
Stop lying.
It's almost here.
I'm just admiring my Brooks like.
There's lots of things you could get that special for that special person in your life. You could get them an autographed picture of Brooks like.
Could.
You could get them an atomic lighter.
Could.
You could get them Twitter followers. All of these would fail. What you need to do is get them something brilliant, and that is Sherry's Berries. A gift.
They're gigantic.
Gigantic strawberries.
Delicious.
They are delicious. A gift from Sherry's Berries is the perfect way to make a big impression this Valentine's Day.
They're the size
Day.
Of Bootsy's head.
Yes.
Although I haven't seen Bootsy in 2 weeks because of everybody having a cold.
Well, isn't Bootsy got jury duty as well?
You know, I hope he's all right.
I'll go ahead and thank Inside the Box this Valentine's Day. See what I did there? Your berries will arrive in Sherry's Berries' signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon, no gift wrap required. And right now, the listeners of this fine podcast, The Tony Kornheiser Show, can send Sherry's Berries or any of their decadent gourmet gifts.
They're really good.
They really are fantastic. To their Valentine and save 20% on gifts over $29 with the promo code TKPOD. Okay, this is what you're getting. You're getting fresh, juicy strawberries dipped in milk chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolatey goodness, then topped with rich chocolate chips, chopped nuts, and signature swizzles. These are brilliant, and they will love them. Whoever you send them to, they are going to be fantastically happy. So here's what you do. The only way to get 20% off an unforgettable gift over $29 from Sherry's Berries, visit berries.com, that's berries.com today, and enter the code TKPOD at checkout. That's berries.com, code TKPOD.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the great Jason Fuse, and he's playing us in. And when people whose work we're familiar with send us music, not for jingles, but for actual music, it sort of reminds me a long, long time ago, long before most of the people listening to this show were born, there was a rock and roll show, a half-hour rock and roll show on TV once a week called Shindig.
Oh, sure.
And the house band at Shindig were the Righteous Brothers. They were the house vocalists before they hit it really big. And, you know, like Jason Fuse, to me, like, he's our equivalent of the Righteous Brothers.
Yes.
Which I think is nice.
Yes, because at the very beginning, Jason sent us all kinds of music as we got this started up. So he's sort of like the original for us.
Yeah.
Love Jason.
Yeah. All right. Barry's Verluga.
Oh, this song, by the way, is called Overcome, for those curious.
So Barry's Verluga joins us
really
now. He's not sitting with us, but he's on the phone. And I'm going to do a rant to begin with that I don't expect Barry to comment on. I really don't. And Barry will know immediately why. But I'm just going to say that I cannot fathom why anybody would say that the Washington Redskins did not just do a good thing by getting Alex Smith. I can't, unless some people in that position have it in for the team for previous things the team has done to people that perhaps they liked. Because to me, you're going to lose Kirk Cousins. He's out. Even if you franchise him and spend a total of $74 million on him for 3 years and get no playoff games, he's going to leave. The moment he is free, he's out the door. You're getting a professional quarterback who I think is better than Kirk Cousins. And I don't understand on any level why anybody thinks this is somehow bad. That is my rant. I'm done with that. Can you, Barry, what are your, I'm sure you believe it was a smart thing. Well, maybe I shouldn't be sure. Do you believe it was a smart thing?
Well, I do, but I also, and thanks for having me on for the rant. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's,
next time, do that and then call me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah.
Or not listen.
Yeah.
I think there are two ways to look at it and two time frames to look at it. Is it a good and smart move on Tuesday night of Super Bowl week in 2018 when, as you said, Cousins had 9 of his 10 toes out the door? Anyway, of course it is.
It's they're getting something for nothing.
Well, okay. I would disagree with that, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
I think if you take the entirety of the Cousins drama and ordeal and go back 2 or 3 years, I think you have to penalize them and criticize them for the way they handled and bungled and publicly undressed at that point they're sitting quarterback.
Sure, but we say that every day. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
but you can't just immediately lose that perspective. I would also say there are two things. And again, I am agreeing with your overall assessment that Alex Smith is a professional quarterback.
Yes,
we can debate whether he is the same as, better than, slightly worse than Kirk Cousins, and it is my strong belief that over the next 2 or 3 years, Redskins fans will not be able to help themselves in analyzing Smith versus Cousins wherever Cousins is playing. That is going to be the nature of
it. Yes, you're right about that. But if you look at Alex Smith compared to Kirk Cousins, he is slightly better. He turns the ball over far less and has a far greater winning percentage, which is a function of team. But he turns the ball over far less.
There's no doubt. There's zero doubt about that. He also, you know, he's thrown for fewer touchdowns. This is going to be the summer. This is going to be, did Alex Smith throw for fewer touchdowns and create fewer scores than Kirk Cousins because of his
team
he didn't have DeSean Jackson ever.
That's right.
You know, he hasn't had, but he has had a pretty darn consistent and sometimes very dynamic running game.
Yes, and a great tight end. He's got a great tight end.
And a great tight end, which Cousins has had about half the time.
Yeah, because he can't get on the field.
With Tyreek Hill, had an excellent X factor, which just
loosens up defenses. That's exactly. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so then the idea of something for nothing, and I think that this can't be overlooked, and when I had to originally write a column in 5 minutes in the middle of the state,
good for you.
Union address.
that's the job. You did the job well. Good for you.
I am not complaining about it. But it was such a developing situation. I was not fully absorbing that they were giving up Kendall Fuller. Now, I'm not saying that Kendall Fuller is going to be some sort of Pro Bowl defensive back, but this is a franchise that. That needs those core pieces, and I just think that something for nothing is not true.
Well, let me address that specifically, because we had on the PTI show yesterday, we had Lewis Riddick on, and I think Lewis Riddick knows his stuff. I mean, I really do.
I mean, he's been professionally employed to determine these things,
right? So I think he's not a show pony at all. I mean, I think he knows his stuff. He called Fuller. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He called him speed challenged and said he's a third DB. He's not Norman. He's not Breland. Don't get crazy about
it. Yeah.
He's all right.
Well, that's something, again, because, you know, these traits get evaluated in the moment, but they also get evaluated going forward. Who do these players that you gave away, and this happens in baseball all the time, who do they become? And if you're the team giving the pieces away, your fans are like, oof, I hope he doesn't become, you know, Breland or Norman or somebody like that. So maybe I'm just saying there is an idea, a potential that they gave away, and there are other people that would disagree with Riddick, that Fuller might develop into something a little more.
Well, they're worse, Barry, right? I mean, no one would argue they are not worse by getting rid of Fuller. I mean, they made their defense, which is their primary weakness, worse. They got rid of their best side corner by getting rid of him. Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. Here are the I would analogize the Redskins to the Wizards in this regard. They make incomprehensible moves and then they have to get out of jail.
That's a good analogy.
They were faced with jail because of what they did with Kirk Cousins. And they went into that and pulled a rabbit out of the hat. Alex Smith is a professional quarterback.
So to what end? 3 more years of 8-8, 9-7?
That's not his doing. Well, look at the team
But you could keep a good young talent in Kendall Fuller, address quarterback another way. There were other ways. There were other free agents who were going to be available, not the caliber of Alex Smith.
Alex Smith in the first 5 weeks of this season was talked about as the MVP in the league.
And you could admit that admit that you were in a rebuilding process rather than try to dredge along at 500.
Go ahead, Barry. You can settle this.
Okay, so there's a couple things there. I think Gary is correct in that there's no way to argue that they aren't worse defensively because they took away whatever Fuller's going to become. He played for them. He was a piece they didn't have to worry about, and perhaps a piece that was going to develop. He's 22. You need 22-year-old football players. So that puts pressure on whoever it is, Doug Williams, Bruce Allen, some sort of combination, the scouting department, that puts more pressure on this draft to find players that can contribute in 2018, 2019, not one player, not the 13th pick in the draft, but finding players that they haven't necessarily found consistently to be part of that core. There's no way, as good as the rabbit that Alex Smith was in getting pulled out of the hat,
right,
there's no way that he by himself elevates this team beyond their 7-9 to 9-7 kind of parameters that Cousins was. Do you believe, Tony, that he is, while he is a professional quarterback who is proven and may, in fact, we can argue this, may be a little bit better than Cousins, is he an elevating factor by himself? I would say absolutely not.
Here's what I would say, okay, because I will take the other side of that because I think he's quite good. I do. I think he's quite good. But he prevents them from becoming 3-13, which is a threat mm-hmm. every time this administration puts a team out on the field.
1,000%.
3-13.
Yes.
So,
okay.
And in football, unlike other sports, in football, twice a year, some team that was 3-13 is suddenly in the playoffs.
Rams.
Like yep. Jacksonville. Like it happens
well,
in football.
It's not random. It's because they're drafting high. I mean, but couldn't you argue
also,
that?
But Gary, most of those things are, you see the results in that big jump in 1 year, the seeds have been sown for 2 or 3 years. Like there have been,
that good management
team. Yeah, and like Jacksonville's players, the defensive players, didn't all just show up this year in one turnaround. They have been collected for years. Tony,
right.
One other thing that I think we have to address, and
yep.
I'm not saying that this damns the deal, but there's no way to not point out that at the start of the 2018 season, Kirk Cousins will be 30 and Alex Smith will be 34. Now,
thank you.
Is that a big deal in 2018?
Well, I can answer that. The rules in the NFL now are designed to give quarterbacks longevity.
Mm-hmm.
They are not being hit in the way they used to be hit. And
You're
if you
correct.
Look around, and because I did this yesterday because Wilbon said the same thing. Let's say Tom Brady is an outlier because he's 40. Drew Brees is 39. Philip Rivers is 36. Aaron Rodgers is 34. Ben Roethlisberger is 35. I would argue
Hall of Famers.
That these guys are among the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, and they're all older than Alex Smith. So I'm not saying it automatically correlates to 5 great years of Alex Smith, but I think you're a little bit less afraid of age at your quarterback position now than you were 10 years ago. Would you concede that?
Yes, I would concede that, and
yeah.
I think that's a really good way of analyzing it. I just think it because there is – I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. It is now – what is it? February 1st. We are going to have versions of this discussion for essentially
7 months.
Yes,
yep.
And,
yes.
And
little
yes.
pieces of this discussion. I mean, I you know how a newspaper sports section works. There will be an assignment – hey, give me 2,000 words on quarterbacks that are 34 versus 30. Go.
Yeah.
Because, and look at it exactly as we are going to dissect this from every angle, not just in 15 minutes, but over, closer to 7 months.
I just, Barry, have you thought about why we got rid of Robert Griffin III?
That's a really interesting
because I just don't think we gave him a run, and I don't know. That's something that maybe a future column.
Barry,
I'll look for
to
it.
To your point, that comparison, which has already been killed and will be killed again until September, if not through December.
Oh,
to Tony's
December
original point
beyond.
Is totally unfair because it's a false equivalency. I mean, Cousins was gone. You did not trade Cousins for Smith.
He's not.
You lost
he's
Cousins.
He's not walking through that door.
Right.
There's no chance.
He was brutalized by the owner and the general manager.
And should he go to Jacksonville or Denver or the Jets or wherever he ends up and thrives, it will be really unfortunate because Smith is going to be judged through that prism for a lot of the Redskins fan base.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm not at all saying that the trade was not Cousins for Smith.
Right.
It wasn't an option. I get that. But I think you have to be realistic about how it will be perceived.
Yeah.
There's just no way for this fan base because, and I think correctly, this fan base is looking for opportunities to jump on the front office and specifically the ownership to say, you screwed up again. You're messing with my emotions. I have invested in you financially and emotionally for decades, and you messed up the negotiations with a quarterback that was perfectly good, and now he's playing for Jacksonville and going to a Super Bowl. And while you may have salvaged the deal in the moment, we are still 8-8. I think that is how, I mean, that's possible how, I mean, that's certainly how emotionally
I'm going to tell you who he is.
Look at it.
I'm going to tell you who he is, and it won't sound like much. But this was sort of one of the few times that the Redskins were pretty good. He's Brad Johnson. That's who he is.
And that's fine. But Brad Johnson, when he won the NFC East title in 1999, had some players around him. And I think that
right.
And I'm not saying that the Redskins have no players, but they don't have the Chiefs roster around him.
No.
I mean, do they? They don't.
They absolutely don't. And that's what the Cousins thing. Well, anyway, the final word on this, to some degree, is they're paying this guy $71 million guaranteed. Kirk Cousins would have walked through fire on his hands for $71 million guaranteed, right? He would have. Sure, he would have.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not now.
No,
yeah,
not now. No, I understand.
He's the highest-paid quarterback in the league.
2 years ago, he would have taken $40 or $50 million guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They 100% botched it, and the price of botching it was Kendall Fuller. And what is it, a third-round pick, Barry?
Third-round pick, but that comes out in the wash because you get that back as compensation.
Oh, okay, got it. So it was Kendall Fuller. That was the price.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you.
Appreciate
good
it,
job. Barry's for Luga, boys and girls. What do we have when we return? We have news and Chuck Todd.
That's right.
Chuck Todd is going to make a prediction or two.
That's right.
Prop bets. I hope. What color will Pink's hair be?
If he makes two, that'd be interesting.
Will Pink?
It's one game. It's one game.
A lot of Donald Trump prop bets, by the way.
Wow. Will Pink be airborne at any point during the national anthem?
Well, yeah.
Yes or no?
Because she did that whole thing at the Grammys.
If you think yes,
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Eric French in Frederick, Maryland, who says the last song I sent you was written on a flight from London to Dulles at night over the Atlantic. This one, not so much. Written on land, thinking about the times. Wanted to let you know I made it in for breakfast to chatter. Martin Luther King Day. Loved it. And by it, I mean the Bloody Mary. Staff was great. Locale is ideal. And even though you were sick and sounded like Burgess Meredith running over a field of bagpipes, you couldn't have been more gracious to the patrons between segments. I called my brother on the way home and said, check it. Kornheiser, sneaky tall. Who knew? Regards to all at your table this morning and to Nigel, of course.
Shrinking all the time.
I am shrinking. If people want to send us their music.
They send it to us at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. We'd love to get your music, so please send it our way.
And I think you can buy stuff from us, too. How do you do that at the website?
At thisshowstinks.com?
Yeah.
We've got a full slate of stuff. I know Michael's got the...
I think it's shop.tonykornheiser.com.
If Michael ever gets back here.
Yes.
Michael being held hostage
We're looking.
By the District of Columbia jurisprudence system.
Yes. And by the way, if you would like to do a podcast, if you're a podcaster out of town or in town and would like to use our studios, reach out to us at thisshowstinks.com. We'd love to host you.
What was Carol Joint doing in here with the socialite?
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
Last night. Yeah, last night.
Does she want to work here? Doesn't she still own her place?
The Bubis?
No.
That was
Nathan's,
a while ago.
Nathan's closed a while
says,
ago.
Okay.
Yep. Yes.
So she can come here. She can work here.
She tweeted they did something. Yeah, they did.
Shop.tonykornheisershow.com. How come people... I feel
you
like
tell
Michael
it's
doesn't,
raining umbrella?
Yeah, I was just going to say, why do people... Michael doesn't hawk the tell Michael it's raining umbrella nearly enough.
Chuck Todd is with us. Chuck, who has no gear from us. He's got NBC gear. He's got Meet the Press gear. He's got nothing from
us. We ought to do a swap. We ought to swap swag. Maybe I can...
Sure, absolutely.
I could give you old Meet the Press
Send
stuff.
Send us a box of that.
Moderators.
with other moderators' names on it. That's the thing, that's always fun.
It's worth
if
something.
If you appeared on Sunday morning in a Chatter T-shirt, that would get you free drinks for at least a year. That would be really cool.
That's it. Boeing pays how much money to sponsor Meet the Press, and you're basically saying, well, you know, for your free drinks.
Wait. You know. Does Boeing have a factory in Washington State or Washington D.C.?
Oh.
I'm offering you free drinks 7 blocks from where you work. So,
all right. Well, it's something I'll have to contemplate.
What have you got in the Super Bowl? And how do we get you to you're 58, 60, and 6?
Oh, it's a double play. Obviously.
How do we get you to get to 500?
How do I do a parlay? Right.
Okay.
We got to parlay this. Parlay me to 500. We have to figure this out without doing a stupid prop bet that annoys you.
Right.
Which I know.
They annoy me. It's just that they are. They're very funny. They're very random. They have nothing to do with football.
Right.
You know, that's all. But go ahead.
Is there a prop bet anywhere on will Chuck Todd win his pick on the Tony Kornheiser show? Yes. That's a prop bet I would like to see. You could get a nice hedge there then, Chuck.
I need to get behind.
There were a lot of Trump props, but a lot of them were focused on will he do an interview, and they announced either this morning or last night they will not be doing an interview with Chuck's NBC.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Nothing is done.
You never know.
It's not over till it's over, baby.
Wait, what have we learned about Trump?
So true.
What have we learned about Trump? That it doesn't really matter what he says the day before the thing happens. Doesn't really matter. So go ahead. What do you got on the game?
In one sentence, he went from, look at Chuck, he's a nice guy, and then he's a monster. So, you know, he can go back and forth. Well, look, you know, the rule in gambling is when you take an underdog of less than 7 points, don't take him unless you think they're going to win.
Right.
And yet I'm going to violate that rule because I don't think the Eagles are going to win, even though they have the better defense, they have the better running game. I might argue they even have the better skill position.
Better coach, better quarterback.
No, you're not. They don't have the better quarterback and they don't have the better coach. And at 4.5 points, do you realize that the New England Patriots have only covered a spread of 4.5 one time in a Super Bowl in the last year?
They don't cover.
Yeah.
Yep. They win. They don't cover. Yeah. They don't cover. Yeah. They don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, their largest win was 6 points, and that was an overtime game. So, you know, 4.5, I feel like, you know, I think I rode the Eagles all during the playoffs. I was on them each time. So I'll do the 4.5, but I'm not betting on them on the money line. I'll admit that. That feels like, why would you bet against Tom Brady being able to win this game in the fourth quarter?
Only for this reason. And I want to see Brady win because I will never get over the injustice of Deflategate. That was just wrong. Spygate is one thing. Deflategate was nonsense. But at some point, a team that rushes 4, and they're good, is going to make Tom Brady look old. And make him turtle a lot more than he normally does. And this is the one that can happen. Their defense is good. Their running game is good. They're good. The Eagles are better than people think they are. They're better.
I agree.
So
I think they're better than Jacksonville. And I thought Jacksonville matched. You know, we all saw
should have won. Jacksonville should have won the game. Should have won.
That's right. They should have. And Philadelphia seems like they're more poised. They seem like they may be ready for this moment. But, I mean, how many times have we been here? I mean, New England, you know, interestingly, in most of their Super Bowls, they're not the better team in that game.
That's right.
They don't play the better game, right? I mean, how many times have they not been the better team and still won the game? The two losses are the two times they were clearly the better team.
Yes, and Eli, there were phenomenal catches.
Right.
There were catches you never see. And you saw them in those games. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
My favorite prop bet would simply be how many times Chris Collinsworth uses the phrase Matt Patricia's defense. I don't know. I get annoyed
right.
at the over.
I'm sure Belichick has nothing to do with that.
We always the announcers, and I get it. You sort of have to try to you can't keep talking about the same person over and over again. But we lionize these coordinators as if they're like these magicians. You know, it's like, oh boy, Matt Patricia did this time.
Scheme them up.
Do we think they're that? Do we think they matter that much?
No. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and people get beat.
And Belichick's, the record of Belichick coordinators
not good
and head coaches
when they go to become head coaches.
I give you Charlie Weiss.
They're not very good, But you know what is true is that Belichick is that good.
Yeah.
Like, he's that good, and he's still making these calls. I want to see. I haven't seen it yet. That 30 for 30 on Parcells and Belichick sitting in the room together. I'll bet that's good.
Does he give? You think he gives? Do you think Belichick actually?
I don't know.
That's my only.
I don't know.
I want to watch it too, but
I don't know.
My only fear is that he doesn't give, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't like to tell anybody anything.
You may be right, but just the fact that they're in the same room is interesting to me. So obviously Parcells can talk. Parcells could always talk. Do you want to do any other bet at all, or is this it?
You tell me. What's the bet? I mean, I would, but you know, you railed against these prop bets. Nigel said. You bring up the prop bets, you know, he's going to go all crazy on us.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not. No, I just find them.
Did you hate it?
No, but are there any of them that intrigue you to the point that when you went through them, you said, that's one or two I would do? I'll give you those.
No, they're not. I'll tell you what I always end up doing is I take a few long shot MVP odds, because those are always actually the best ones. You grab, you know. You grab like the kick returner,
right?
Or you grab a defensive back because you know it's always possible one of them. And you never do it on the Patriots, like because the Patriots they're always going to give the MVP to Brady or Gronk, whether they deserve it or not, right?
That's right.
Because they're the two most high profile. So it will be some Eagle defensive guy that I think is a good prop bet.
Yeah,
Fletcher Cox.
The guy with two interceptions or four sacks or something like that.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox plus 4,000.
Well, yeah, with his
first
with
sack
his
fumble.
41.
He's got a wrestling mask on now.
I did see three prop bets that Reginald was eyeing.
Yeah.
The first one is plus 150, whether Al Michaels says, these pretzels are making me thirsty during the broadcast.
It's delicious.
Plus 100, whether they shoot to the crowd and Angela Lansbury is there.
Yeah.
Always love an Angela Lansbury cameo.
And coming in from Cabot's Cove.
And plus 500, I think he's going to lean on this one. Plus 500, at least one monkey in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
That's a lock.
All right. We hope you win.
That's big.
We hope you win.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one game under 500, that would at least, you know, make me qualified to be a Washington Redskins coach, right?
Get your raise and an extension.
5-year deal.
Get you an extension.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, guys.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls from Meet the Press. If we just gave you that. That would be enough. This guy hosts Meet the Press.
Yeah.
But we don't. We give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws poo, poo, poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blues.
So Reginald is 1-1 last week. Reginald is 31-27-2. He leads the league. He's a monkey, and he leads the league. He's not Trevor Siemian. He's a Siemian.
Yes.
And he leads the league.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
If you bet money with Reginald, you've made a profit this year.
Yeah.
Yes, I did go down to the National Zoo. It's very exciting. He loves the Super Bowl. This is his favorite time of the year. He's very sad because there's no more football after this.
He's very sad.
Yes.
PTI's very sad. Wilbon's happy, but we got 6 months of nothing.
Man, football's not a big deal in this country.
A lot of association talk coming up on PTI. And he showed me a photograph.
And every one of those stories about the NBA is about, well, what do you think will happen in the playoffs? The playoffs start in May.
Playoffs?
It's February 1st.
Yeah. He showed me, this was a photograph, I believe it was from the New York Times, of the physician removing the stitches from Brady's
hand.
Was actually Reginald.
Really?
Some kind of a doctor. So,
I thought I saw a hairy arm in there.
Yes. So he had the surgical mask on and everything because he doesn't want to get it infected. But so he obviously He's going to take New England. He's going to take New England.
The spread allows someone like me to be very happy if New England wins but Philadelphia covers. Because I acknowledge Brady's greatness. I acknowledge Belichick's greatness. I think the more you put a record out there that nobody can touch it again, that makes me happy.
Yeah, I
admire the excellence.
Yes.
But I think Philadelphia is an awfully good team, and I like the city, and Michael went to college there, and all of that. And if Philadelphia were to cover, if it was a two-point game, I'd be happy.
I almost think the closer the game, the greater the Brady mythology in the event of a New England win.
Well, they've never had like that blowout Super Bowl
win. No, well, they've had him in the playoffs, but
not in the Super Bowl.
No.
So there you go. And I think he is going to lean on taking the bet that Angela Lansbury will appear somewhere.
Angela Lansbury is in her 90s.
Yes, but I think she's a big Eagles fan.
Still solving crimes. Well,
they had a 100-year-old broad at the Vikes game.
You know, broad isn't the preferred
Angela
nomenclature.
Lansbury was on Broadway last year. Yeah. Man, she was
the Manchurian candidate as that bloke's mother. That was like 100 years ago.
She's great.
Fantastic.
There was a great piece... I found it in the Daily Mail in 2012.
She's entitled, 92, Tony.
The most dangerous place on earth is revealed to be the fictional setting for TV series murders. She wrote that.
Because everybody gets murdered.
The murder rate in Cabot Cove was like one out of every three residents.
Yeah. Why are you going? Where are we going, Cabot
Worse
Cove?
Than Chicago.
A small town in Maine. Everyone's being killed.
Right. Do you have any real news?
I do. I have some sad news. We'll start off with.
I know we lost.
Yeah, 68-54.
But I told you we were going to lose to Vermont. We're not as good as Vermont.
You acquitted yourself,
we're
all right.
68-54. Well, we won a 9. We won a 9 in league.
1-8 in league. 10-14
brutal.
Overall.
It's brutal. Yes, we're terrible.
Coming up next, you visit, is it the Bears? The Maine Bears? The Maine Black Bears? What are they called?
We've lost to them
Mainers.
Also.
Yeah, Maine Mainers.
That's at home. That's at Maine.
No, so. Isn't Maine the dregs of the league, though?
Well, no, we are the dregs
okay,
of the league.
Okay, but normally, isn't Maine...
Maine and New Hampshire.
Maine, right. Maine is 2-7. New Hampshire, 5-4 in the league.
I don't know how... I guess they cheat.
Leg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you... We don't have much time. Did you want to talk about the train crash? Did you want to talk about...
Well, every time there's a train crash, it makes me very uneasy because I like trains.
Yes. This was...
Were they going to the Greenbrier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that where they were... Yeah, they were going to the Greenbrier. Okay, yes. It's for a GOP retreat. There were a lot of congressmen on board the train. It struck a truck. There was one fatality. I guess it was a truck on the
track. A guy in
the truck.
What is a truck... That's doing on the tracks
and the gates
were down. Gates were down.
Come on, man.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's just it's very possible.
There'll be an investigation.
And the interesting thing about this was there were a number of congressmen who were on the train that had there were also
doctors.
There were doctors that were at the baseball practice when the shooting occurred, and
Steve
they said I was hoping I would never have to deal with this again.
Jeff Flake, who is not a doctor, the senator from Arizona, was like helping to carry one of the guys to the medevac helicopter. Yeah. He was also at the Scalise shooting.
Yep.
What else you got?
Virginia wins.
You know, I watched 64. A lot of Virginia last night. The 74 is a lot for them to score.
Yeah.
They've now won 13 in a row. Purdue beat Maryland last night. Purdue's won 18 in a row.
They look formidable.
They're very good. Yeah. Now, let me just say this, because I thought about this with Virginia. They're not unwilling to shoot. They come down and they shoot. They have, and maybe Chris will tell me if I'm wrong on this. I believe they have a soccer mentality. I believe they. I believe
they don't use their hands.
No, they work. They work it. You know, they like to get something better.
That's right.
Before they commit.
That's right.
They like to get
they
something.
Hold.
They do. They're a very good team. Yep. They're and it takes a special kind of player to play for him because you're not one and done there. He doesn't give you the opportunity to be Marvin Bagley III. You don't have that opportunity.
Really
he's good.
Good coach.
He's as is Chichet. I mean, there are different coaches out there. And so they were fun to watch. What else?
Looks like Fox. And there are lots of people who are not fans of Thursday Night Football, but it's not going anywhere. And Fox now has the rights to broadcast that for the next...
Did you say Monday Night Football?
Thursday Night
Thursday.
Football.
Right.
Thursday Night Football, if I said that. I apologize. Yes, they're going to be the for the next five seasons.
They're not doing 16 games, though. It's interesting. I think they're doing 11 or 12. Mm-hmm.
Broadcast, entitles to broadcast 11 games
on
Thursday.
Yeah, so I don't know what
they
end of it...
They don't start right in the beginning of the year, and they trail off at the end. That's been true. They don't start the first couple weeks and the last
Well, no, there is... The first game of the NFL season is a Thursday night game.
Right,
but I think then they do.
Until like October,
okay. Yeah.
All right. And then they don't do it at the end.
Right.
You watch more football than anybody sitting at this table.
Mm-hmm.
How are you on Thursday night?
I mean, I consume it all. I'm embarrassed to admit. So it doesn't. But I will say, decreasingly, Monday and Thursday in particular, Sunday night I will listen. But decreasingly, am I listening to it? I mean, it's down, and I'm multitasking. It's down low.
Right.
So where it's broadcast doesn't really matter to me. I'll still watch them. Hopefully the matchups will be a little bit better. Maybe they have some juice. I don't know. But the matchups Thursday historically have been
bad. They've been bad.
And players complain that they don't have enough time to recover from the Sunday.
But, you know, but still, the rate people watch it.
Can I say something? I know this factually from someone who's in a position to know this, whose name I will not mention here. the rate of injury on Thursday night is no greater.
Really?
It is not greater than any other day. It's not. That's mythology. That's not true. It's not. I mean, Wilbon loves to say that. It's not true.
Well, I know who's the guy. Was it Richard Sherman that had the Achilles injury?
Yes, he blamed it on.
And he was like, hey.
You can do that if you're a player.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just saying that it's not true that the injury rate is greater. Anything else, or should we get out of here?
Oh, we can get out of here.
Okay, good. We'll get out of here. And what do we have? Old guy when we return?
That's right.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let's try that again at a louder volume. This is the first Leaf Read. First Leaf.
That's
wine.
Very. You know
yes.
what?
Yes.
That wine. That's good. That this is a. You, this is a good thing. I've got this.
You've tried the wines, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the wines. You like them a lot?
Yeah.
What's your
I like all wines a lot. All wines.
Do you have
box
a favorite,
wine, do you have bottle a, wine, train
do
wine.
Do you have a favorite like Cabernet
no,
Sauvignon?
No, what they do is they
he likes wine shipped to his front door.
I like
which
that.
Is what
and that's
they
what's
do.
Great about this. But yeah, they ask you a bunch of questions.
And they will curate after a while what your tastes are and match you specifically to what you like best.
Yes, that's right.
This is pretty good.
First Leaf is the only online wine
Michael
that
bought this for me. Michael spent, I was going to say his money, but we all know it's actually my money. It's my money that was being spent on me.
This is, I'm looking at it online. Very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. They use your reviews to make personalized wine selections match to your taste. And the more you tell First Leaf what you like, the better they can customize each new box that you receive.
And they don't mind if you say, that was swill, don't send it to
they
me.
They just want to make you happy.
Yes.
That's the whole
game.
Yes,
they want you to be a customer.
Yes, First Leaf Club.
They're in the hospitality business. As my daughter says all the time, this is the hospitality business.
It is.
Make people feel good.
Yes. Huh. First Leaf Club makes tasting and rating new wine an exciting event. The more wine you taste and rate, the better First Leaf can customize your box.
Can I interrupt for a
second?
We have a new pattern here now.
Yes.
The pattern is we have tables and people watch us from the tables.
Right.
And now little lovebirds are sitting together at the table.
Not, like not, on the same
not
side?
Not opposite each other. On the same side.
So
the
two person
it's like having
booth.
A drive-in here.
Right.
It's appalling.
It's unbelievable. Well, go ahead with First
Leaf. Nigel and I do that when we go out.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Firstly.
Yes, we'll sit on this side of the table, please. Thank you. And the introductory three-pack of wine for just $5 a bottle.
This is great.
That's astonishingly good.
I mean, that's just, now, they're trying to get you to use heroin down the road, but no, this is really good.
It is really good. Customize your First Leaf box by selecting the color, wine regions, and frequency of your wine shipments. It would be every other day for you, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
First Leaf then creates an introductory three-pack of wine to get you started with First Leaf's introductory
pack. Do you know when ESPN finally says, you are so old, get out of here, when I don't have a job, I would just be drunk all day long. I'd be sitting in my house drinking.
That's what First Leaf wants to do for
me. I just signed up for First Leaf while Nigel was doing this read.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's easy, too.
That was foolish because you didn't even use the promo code.
Oh,
yeah,
wait.
I'll get to that. I'll get to that. With First Leaf's introductory pack, you get all three for just $5 each, as we've said. Normally, these bottles of wine go for $20 a piece, if not more. When your bottles arrive.
Yeah, I mean, when they send it to me, it says suggested retail. It's always $20 to $25. Somewhere in there.
That's right. And when your bottles arrive, here's what you do. Rate the wine to get those personalized selections based on your unique taste.
It's a five-minute read.
And here's what you do. To order your three-pack of introductory wine for only $15, go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That's three wines for only $15.
What did you put in?
Well, there's not a promo code. I got to go to a separate URL.
He entered schmuck. I don't know why he did that.
That's three wines for only $15 on your first order at tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. Experience First Leaf today at tryfirstleaf.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
One, two, three.
Oh, wait. Who could be playing this?
Who the
could it be
band?
Dino Danelli and Gene Cornish and Eddie Brigati and Felix Cavalier? Yes, it could be. This is good loving. Why are we doing this for old guy?
They recorded it this day in 1966, and
that's 52 years ago.
This was the first big hit, I believe.
Okay, yes, it was. Now, for people who don't care about the Rascals, at this point, they were the Young Rascals.
Yes.
And in fact, when they played this song, they wore those same sort of uniforms from the original television show, literally from the 1930s or 40s, the films, the Young Rascals with Alfalfa and Spanky
Rascals?
And Darla. Yes, yes. So they were the Young Rascals and looked, and it's the same sort of costume. Who's the lead guy on AC/DC?
Angus
wears
Young.
Yeah, he does. He wears the same sort of stuff.
Yes.
And that's what they wore. And then they stopped doing that in the same way that the Beatles stopped wearing those suits,
the colorless suits.
Colorless suits. Yeah. Yes. So, anyway, I mean, that's critical commentary.
The Thamesmen,
the original, yeah, Cups and Cakes. That was a great album they did.
Yeah.
The song was first recorded by somebody named Lemmy Be Good.
Lemmy Be Good, not Johnny Be Good.
Lemmy Hold Your Hand. In March of 1965, written by Rudy Clark. Then it was recorded by the Olympics.
I know the Olympics.
And I've heard their version of it, and the Young Rascals.
Well, this was the hit.
Basically, Felix Calvieri had heard it and was singing it on the way into the studio and
this
said,
big hit.
Let's do this. And their version is very similar to the Olympics version, but much better.
All right, so we have some time to talk here. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, because, to use Chris's expertise, the Stormy Daniels stuff.
I love that this
Where are we now on this? Because now she's either canceling appearances on television
View, yes.
or going on television and denying where are we on this?
Okay, so she's supposed to be on The View today and they canceled it yesterday. She was on with Kimmel on Tuesday.
Kimmel is brilliant.
He's the best.
Kimmel's brilliant.
Can't wait for the Oscars, by the way.
Oh,
he's brilliant.
Yeah.
She was on with Kimmel and Kimmel. Her interviews often go like this one, where it's all kind of innuendo and like winking and nodding, and it's not clear because Kimmel basically said, "Have you had sex with someone whose name rhymes with Ronald Rump?"
Have I?
And that's what she said. Yes. And she said, and he said, "Have you signed a non-disclosure agreement that prevents you from talking?" And if you and she says, I don't know. And he says, "Well, if you hadn't signed one, you would certainly be able to say I haven't signed a non-disclosure agreement." And she was like, "You're so smart, Jimmy." So you're like, "What's happening? It's all gray area."
Right.
Here's what we know, according to the Wall Street Journal: Michael Cohen, who is Trump's personal lawyer and has been for a long time, made a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels via a LLC he set up in Delaware, famous for its lack of corporate transparency, just before the 2016 election. She is on record denying an affair. Cohen is on record denying an affair with the Trump affair with Stormy Daniels.
No one's offered an explanation for the payment.
No one is offered an explanation for the payment.
I think my question is the same question that everybody has. How do you get to $130,000?
Right. It's kind of an odd sum.
Yeah, I mean,
Why settle for it?
You throw stuff on the wall.
Yeah. Right. Throw it at a dartboard.
$130,000.
Her interviews, I find every interview she does, she makes herself less and less and less credible because it very much appears, whether there's any there or not, it very much appears she is trying to milk her 15 minutes as much as humanly possible.
You know, God bless her.
I wasn't really familiar with her, so I researched a lot of her work.
How was it? Did you know, by the way, that Blake Griffin found out that he was traded to the Detroit Pistons via Twitter?
That's how everybody finds everything out.
Kendall Fuller found out, the Redskins. Same deal. He was denying it. He said, no, it's not me.
Blake Griffin signed a 170. Here's what Kendall Fuller didn't do. He didn't sign a $171 million contract with the Los Angeles Clippers, which at the time of the signing was ballyhooed as he's going to be a Clipper for life. And then they held a mock retirement of his jersey for the Clippers. And he didn't get 40 games with them. He played 33 games with them before they traded him. And he found out via Twitter.
Blake Griffin, 4.38 million Twitter followers.
What if you're me and you're not on Twitter? I would still be going to play in Los Angeles. How can you not tell the player?
They must have really thought highly of him.
He's been very gracious about this.
Yes, I've got his quote.
Blake Griffin's been very gracious about this.
I mean,
it's a business. I'm happy to go play for somebody who wants me.
Yeah. It's the only thing I just wish I'd known or had the opportunity to talk to somebody
via Twitter.
So don't misinterpret this, because I'm not attempting to defend that he's hearing about it via Twitter. However, the nature of Twitter now is that whatever happens,
it's immediately out there.
It is instantly on Twitter.
Somebody has to put it on.
Correct. But the first person to know about whatever the thing is puts it on there. So essentially you would have to tell him preemptively before player. Let's just say player X. You would have to tell him, hey, we're about to trade you, which teams have never done and never will do, because if there is a snafu at the last second and the trade doesn't happen,
then
they don't want to poison the well.
When it's done, it has to be your first call.
Completely
agree. It
has
to be your first call. He didn't find out from them.
Right.
He found out from Twitter.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's terrible.
And it's wrong. Yeah, I'm not defending him. I'm just explaining.
Is there an explanation for why he went from 32 to 20? He's now wearing 23. Does somebody on the team have 32? I mean, he wore 32.
23 is LeBron, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
LeBron wore 23.
Yeah, and Michael Jordan. But
yeah, was 23.
I just thought Blake Griffin once wore 23, maybe in college.
Maybe he wore 23 in college. I just saw his uniform, and it was 23.
So let me get to something that we talked about yesterday with Dan Miller, and we have entirely new people in here, and this is Michigan State. Tom Izzo is in not just a bad position because of what may or may not be learned of his program, but he's in a particularly bad position because, unlike a football coach, he's got games twice a week. And he gets up there twice a week and takes questions twice a week. And Tom Izzo is, by all accounts, certainly my personal knowledge of this and my friendship with people who know him far better than I, he's always been a good stand-up guy, media guy, all of that. And now all the questions, not all the questions, but many of the questions are about what has happened at Michigan State, what might happen at Michigan State. And he's now reduced to saying things like, you know, I really like you guys, I really like the media, but I'm going to keep working, keep my mouth shut, do my job. That's a direct quote from last night. The Larry Nassar stuff does not stop. In fact, it gets more graphic as we go along.
Yep.
The first accuser, her story is remarkable. It is remarkable that Larry Nassar could have convinced anyone in the world that the personal manipulation of this young girl's body was medically sound and a legitimate. It's unbelievable to me that nobody would have said, whoa, whoa, hold on a second, or checked with any other doctor in the world, which was apparently not done.
Yeah.
Larry Nassar sets the stage for everything else. Larry Nassar's dealings are so horrific that if you're under the Michigan State umbrella, and I think Dan Miller was saying this,
that
the sort of slack that you might cut anybody on the payroll with Michigan State over some long and distinguished career is pretty much gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much gone. What do you guys think happens here? What do you and Tom Izzo really is so well liked. I mean, you hear Magic Johnson say, if anybody had any knowledge whatsoever, they should immediately be fired, and now I'm going to help Coach Izzo. Well, come on. He could have had knowledge of this. What do you make of it?
You are right. I mean, he's an iconic.
He is.
Unlike Mark D'Antonio, who is like well regarded, but not in the way that Izzo is.
Not Izzo.
You would think he would be the last one to go. If they are clearing it out, he would be the person who could hold out the longest. I've not seen anything that suggests he was aware.
Covering up of anything.
The only argument for it would be, well, if he's not the most powerful person at Michigan State University, he's certainly in the top three or four.
Right, he's the most powerful.
Right. Could he
But he's
have
never wielded that power, to our knowledge.
Correct. I mean,
can't be more powerful than Joe Paterno was.
No.
He can't be.
No.
Joe Paterno was it.
He made the university.
Oh, you know, over 50 years. So now you have a situation. Now they appointed a former governor.
Yeah, John Engler, former senator,
and the students
too.
Went insane.
And faculty and staff.
Yeah,
went insane. In fact, I don't know.
Doesn't that feel like a flood is going to go
yes.
through there?
And yes. I don't remember if I heard this reporting here with Dan Miller or somewhere else, but the faculty and staff and students have issued a vote of no confidence in the board. Mm-hmm. Asking for the entire board of directors to step down. So
like USA Gymnastics,
you're talking about a
get out of here by 5 o'clock.
Right.
Yep. Get Please. Out.
So it feels Doesn't like it? A
it's
tidal wave is coming.
It feels like it's going right downhill and it's going to take out everybody.
And right. they all say like a week before they go, yeah, they're in pretty strong shape. You know, I mean, everybody's job is safe, and then it just it is a flood is a good comparison.
It seems
just suddenly sweeps up
more
and you're
of a
gone.
Tsunami. I mean, it feels like when the purge is done, it is going to be way beyond what you saw at Penn State. I mean, Penn State...
Penn State lost the president. They lost everybody you heard of. They lost everybody.
Well, they didn't lose their entire board of directors. They didn't... It didn't spread into, like, other... You know, football. I mean, basketball, for instance, wasn't impacted.
Baylor lost everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Baylor lost everybody. I think. I
mean, it'll be as bad as any of them.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Hyperbole.
I think that if you're employed there, you're sort of playing for time on this.
Mm-hmm.
That the further away you get from this, the better it is.
Doesn't feel that way.
Can I say this as somebody who works for ESPN? This is an ESPN generated story. They're not letting go on this one.
Right.
This is their story, and it happens that and I said this yesterday, the combination of that story with Larry Nassar feels like an atomic bomb has gone off in Lansing.
Well,
it does.
And Gary and I were talking about this off air, but you know, the count on Nassar's victims is now 265, and you would assume, unfortunately, you would assume
higher.
Given how long he was, yes, much higher, I would think.
Higher. I mean, you also, I mean, and I don't know this, they have a medical school there. They have a medical school. You would think that every administrator who had anything to do with Larry Nassar is on the street. I mean, they'd have to do that.
Seems
this guy.
I mean,
terrible.
And gymnastics and all of that.
Yep.
All right. I don't really have any more. Should I? There's a lawyer here. I'm going to talk to Isaacson and find out. So that at least, now that I've already talked
settled.
Like a fool,
right,
now I can find out how stupid I really was in the last 12 minutes. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Should he that blows... There's something I heard Nigel say. Good idea, ain't no way. It's a perfect show. Spielberg's cannonballing down from the sky, gleaming his eyes, swinging elbows. We oppose. This flick should be out of reach. Spielberg's ego, what a leech. Just who is he? Remake West Side, you just shouldn't do. Steve, get a clue, are you smoking weed?
John Fitzpatrick is just setting the bar so high.
It really is.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Hubris rising, that ain't good. It's Oscar bait. West Side remake, I don't know why it is, but it is an idea I hate. Makes me sick, what a shock. Here's a jingle, just more
this is That's right out of West Side Story with
it's
something
really
coming.
Good.
That's really brilliant by John Fitzpatrick.
Terrific.
Absolutely brilliant.
And your position again is that that is a terrible idea.
Do not remake it.
Exactly.
It exists now. Everybody can see it. Let me thank Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, Barry Sverluga, The Washington Post. Let me thank the sponsors today. First Leaf Wine, Sherry's Berries. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, leave us a review. From Jared Gray in Lafayette, Louisiana, again, home of Ron Guidry. I had a semi-David Aldridge moment yesterday when the conversation briefly centered around Stormy Daniels and the president. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage went to high school with Miss Daniels, who originally went by the name of Stephanie Gregory. They took several dance classes
nods.
Together.
Yes, I guess that's correct.
Not
that's
that kind of dance class.
Familiar with these
and
details.
Graduated in the same class. That's very nice. Cool. William Bennett, the director of choirs
from
at Cane Bay High School. Right. Lachisa Ree, it's the official choir of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Checking in after our tour of D.C. Attached, you'll find pictures of us taken by the woman to whom I'm related by marriage in and around your fair city, including stops at the White House, Lincoln Memorial, National Cathedral. Truly enjoyed ourselves. Kids sang so well. You kept asking me if that old guy was at our performances, but I explained to them you had a terrible cough and couldn't make it. No worries. We have recording if you want to see it. Since the first airing of the mailbag jingle, I've had so many littles reach out to me, but my favorite moment was when we performed in downtown Charleston, and one of the ushers called out to me from across the room, "Hey, Mr. Bennett, tell Tony hi for us if you see him with cheeserie." We chatted for a moment, got to know each other a little bit. Another connection made through the podcast. Thanks again for the memories and laughs. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts about the Alex Smith trade, which I did earlier. By the end, this is what happens.
Get Rivera in here.
I hate this.
Go to the pen.
From Sam and Karen Angel in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage, and I would like to let you know, and the crew, and most importantly, Bootsy, of the impending birth of the woman to whom I will be related by parenthood. Let's refer to her as Cutesy. She'll be joining our family at the trade deadline this summer. No doubt our best acquisition to date. I'm looking forward to bringing her to Chatter soon thereafter when the pod returns from summer vacation. Sure, she won't be able to eat solid foods yet, but I assume any good restaurant can whip up some off-the-menu pureed carrots or bananas upon request. Hopefully by then, Bootsy will have followed in his father's footsteps and will have put together a strong milk selection on tap at the bar for Cutesy to choose from. Though I'm about to become a parent, I promise I have no plans to buy a Subaru. Good. And yes, I'm one of the Drexel SIDs. My wife is an SID at Temple, leading to this announcement. From Catherine Burns. Hello from Kuwait.
Ooh.
I'm writing to thank you for the kind and thoughtful birthday wishes you extended to me on Friday's show and to apologize for not calling, of course. I'm Catherine Burns, the Marine pilot, to whom you wished a happy birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yes, very cool.
It truly made Kuwait. My day to receive greetings from Jeannie, Gary, Nigel, and of course, Dr. Mr. Hoff Waff himself. My husband Joe spoke truth when he said our post-deployment travel plans are a bit of a Little's pilgrimage, as we intend to visit Chatter, Calvert Woodley, the Palm, and to cap off our East Coast trip on the Wilbon Loathe I-95 corridor to New York to see The Boss on Broadway. Wow, good for you.
Great,
I wish
sure.
I could
yeah.
get them.
That's fantastic.
Joe is also correct in saying that a shout-out on the show would earn him some brownie points. I think he'd be pleased to know you've earned my avid golfer of a husband a day of golf at a course of his choice while we're in D.C. So if you have any recommendations, we would truly appreciate it.
Why don't you take him to Columbia?
Play Columbia with me. In the intervening weeks of our Chatter visit, I will relentlessly be searching for a G5 so that I can see in person the full complement of talismans and amulets which accompany Tony in flight. Again, thank you for the birthday wishes. In addition to brightening my day, the mention also gave me the opportunity to join the esteemed ranks of my younger sister, Kathy Philbin, who received a shout-out on the show a few years ago when Saliza's wife recruited her to the Catholic University
yep,
Field Hockey.
Carly yeah. Philbin.
As yeah, you may have that. Gathered, yep. Fandom of your show is a family affair for us, and we're all grateful for the endless laughter and inside jokes with which you have provided our family. And if you happen to read this on the air, please send my regards to Lieutenant Andre Webb, a fellow Little, currently serving as an F-18 flight demonstration pilot with the Blue Angels.
Cool.
That's the best of the best.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good.
That's wow. the best of the best.
They asked me to do that.
I'd Tony
decline.
A ride in his jet if I can't track down a Gulfstream. Semper Fi and La Cheeserie.
That's great.
From Wade Lewis, greetings from a loyal UK Little in Sunbury-on-Thames. Following your disappointment in the State of Play film, please watch the original BBC TV miniseries, which it is based on. It's brilliant, with a cast of top UK actors, including James McAvoy, David Morrissey, and Bill Nighy.
Oh, that's both,
some of most of whom are talking now, taking all the acting roles stateside. I'm sure it's available on demand. I didn't know State of Play was a British series.
Nor did I.
I had absolutely no idea. Let me get to one more that's relatively short.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. You gave me all the long ones.
Oh. I did.
You gave me all the reasons.
Golly, where's
this.
Michael?
Enough. Where's Michael when you need
there's
him?
A short
all right,
one.
Andrew Bader in San Francisco. After yeah. hearing your recent discussion of Pizza Hut, I decided to contribute. On my family's recent visit to Scotland, 17-month-old son, wife, and myself, I learned that Pizza Hut restaurants are considered upscale dining, complete with wine bars. Please
attaboy.
Tell Michael, late December and early January, cold, wet, and windy in Scotland. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Hasta la vista, perv.
Yeah!
Thanks, everybody.
Pervert! We'll be right back.
bread for all the trouble. Don't bother. Burst another bubble. Got trouble on the double. Got trouble on the double. Got trouble. So sorry for all the trouble.